Well, it's great if you're visiting today. I can see some new faces here today. It's wonderful to have you with us. And if you're visiting from somewhere else, it's a joy to share together in Jesus and in all that he plans and wants to do on earth. The message that God has given me comes from a dream I had during this last week. And many of you know I am often provoked to jealousy, and I know I have to repent because Pastor Andrea is so prophetic. She gets dreams and visions, but I got one. And occasionally I do have a dream from the Lord. I operate in the prophetic differently to her, but I really envy people that can just go to sleep and wake up and say they know exactly what God is saying in situations. So I'm rejoicing today that God gave me a dream. And the thing is, it was a dream that has actually turned out to be quite, it really moved me to pray. And I'll just describe the dream and then unpack what I believe the Lord wants to say and do amongst us here. In the dream, there were a few of us in a highly protected vehicle, similar to this vehicle that's going to come up on the screen. And it was armored, it had loads of weapons on board, and we were in this armored vehicle. And there were two people who I knew were from the church. They were actually young men in the church. And they were outside of the vehicle, totally unaware that there was danger around. And actually, we were going through some kind of more like an African territory, and I could hear a lion. There were a couple of lions actually roaring. And in this dream, I was screaming out of the protected armored vehicle, "There's a lion out there. It's dangerous. Get back in." And they were kind of like, they were kind of more touristy in their approach to where they were. And you can imagine them with a great big camera around their necks, taking snapshots without recognizing the danger. And the two kind of guys who were out of the armored vehicle, we literally, a couple of us, stepped out of the armored vehicle and just got a bit closer to the guys and screamed at them, "Run! It's dangerous where you are." And it was like they suddenly woke up to where they were, saw the danger, and ran into the place of protection, back to safety, where we were. And for me, this was such a dream, and there are many things that the Lord wants to do in our lives. He wants to build us up and encourage us and bring us to faith. He wants to move through his Spirit. But there are times where God wants to issue warnings. And warnings are good for us. And if you're a girl as well here today, the warning is for you, not just to say, "Oh, this is a word for the men." Because the word of God is applicable for all of us here today. And I think we need to take seriously something that God woke me up in. I was really scared for these two guys. When I woke up, I just went to prayer. And God spoke to me after I'd prayed, and he spoke and gave me this, and I'm going to read it out on the screen. "Make the invisible enemy visible. Make him seen by my people so that they can be aware, equipped, and empowered to resist. Bring him into the light so my people aren't dealing with a hidden enemy. Expose him." Do you not think that's an amazing word from God? Make the invisible enemy visible and make him seen by his people so you can be empowered and equipped and have faith to resist him, steadfast in the faith. And the spirit realm very often is so unreal to many Christians. They know that God is spirit, and they understand that they have to live out their faith in the natural world, and we can get really tied up in natural thinking and the things we have to do in life and all the busyness of the day-to-day things that we get involved in. But sometimes I think we're completely clueless when it comes to the enemy. We just think God, us, world, mission, I don't know, but we're not really seeing that the enemy is real. And I love the way the Lord exposes the enemy. He brings the light of his word to shine in our hearts so we can see through the word and the spirit what the enemy is like and what he is doing to try and destroy his lives. Pastor Andrea said it during the ministry, Satan came to rob, to kill, to destroy, but I have come, Jesus said, that you may have life and life in all its fullness. And once, when we're born again, we're taken out of darkness and put into the kingdom of his son. You have already been transferred into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But you know, some of us can, and we all have ventured out of that armored vehicle, that place of protection, where we're kind of more unaware of the reality of the spirit realm and in a dangerous place. And the word of God will kind of reveal to us what those places are and how we get into those places. But the enemy is not a cartoon character with horns and a three-pronged stick. Satan, I remember, actually before I got saved, I read a book by somebody called Nikki Cruz years ago called Satan on the Loose. And it was 6 months before I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And I remember almost, I broke out in perspiration. When I was reading this book, it suddenly portrayed a real devil who was out to destroy people, just as Jesus said. But the story made him so real to me. I got scared. And it was really good to get scared of the devil. Because he, without Jesus, he will destroy your life. And if we're not in the place of the armored vehicle, if we say that represents in Christ and under his will and in his will and going on mission with Jesus through your life, because you know we're all called to go on mission with Jesus. He's our commander in chief, and he has called us to go into the darkness and set captives free. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. Go into all the world. That's our mission. But many of us just pop out of the armored vehicle, wander around with our cameras. And we don't realize that the enemy is out to take us out. He's got nothing nice about him. He's the liar. Jesus called him a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of all lies. He never, never, never tells the truth unless it's to twist the truth. Remember, he used it against Jesus. He twisted the word to push Jesus into doing a miracle for himself and proving that he was the Son of God. Jesus never submitted 1 minute to the enemy. But we have to see where that he's a real enemy. Now, the word of God, let's look at 1 Peter this morning. What a dream, hey? And it means I'm believing somebody's going to get back in the vehicle. If not one, many people here today are going to see, actually, I'm living in a place of danger right now, and I need to get back in to that place under Christ, under his will. See, Jesus lived a total life of victory, surrendered to his Father. A life of submission to God is a life of victory over the enemy. That's the core of really what it means to live out your life in Christ. Positionally, when you're born again, you're in Christ, but to actually live out your life in victory and in the victorious one. And 1 Peter 5, so many of you will probably know this scripture, that describes the enemy. It paints a picture of what he's like. Verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, that's the enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in all the world. Okay, so the Word of God paints this picture of a roaring lion, which was part of the dream, and he's seeking to devour. And these two lions that were in the dream were both out for the two guys that were in the dream, and the lions were smelling their flesh. That was an interesting point. Because when you're in Christ and in the right place in God, you can only smell Jesus, which is victory. Okay, so flesh actually gives the enemy a foothold to come in. But the enemy is on their scent, picked up the scent, and is out to, I can go after them. He can't go after you in the armored vehicle. You can go after him, which is what we're here to do. We're not here to be defensive. We're here on the offensive against the enemy. So a hunter, Satan is a hunter. Don't know if you ever thought of it like that. Just to paint a picture and expose him. He's like, he's on the hunt to destroy somebody's life, particularly Christians who their heart and their desire is to glorify God. Okay, so he's out to destroy Christians' lives as well as non-Christians, of course. He has no authority over us in Christ. But when we wander off track and get into other things, he can cause trouble and devour. He's seeking to devour. And Peter, the Word of God says, be sober and vigilant. Now, if you're vigilant, it means you are on the alert. You are Mr. or Mrs. Hawkeye. Yes. You've got your See, in that armored vehicle, there's night vision and day vision. You can see it at all times. You're like, where's the enemy? Where is he? Right, he's there. Right, let's resist him. Steadfast in the faith. But when you're kind of taking photographs and on holiday, or just enjoying life like the rest of the world, totally unaware that the enemy's there, it's like you're not sober. It's like you're drunk with the things of the world and this life. You're not clear-minded. Your mind isn't thinking straight. And you're not like alert to what could happen, the dangers of being outside of God's protection. And the Word here says, don't ignore him. You know, don't hunker down and pray that he'll go away. Don't even ask God to tell him to go. Scripture says we are to resist him, steadfast in the faith. In other words, stand against the enemy. We're taught in James 4, verse 7, to submit our lives to God fully. Spirit, soul, and body. Our intentions, our decisions, the things that we're going to do in our lives. That's a surrendered life. Then you've got authority over all the power of the enemy. And you resist the devil, and scripture says he must flee from you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're in the right place with God when you're living a life of submission to him, his will, and his purpose. Jesse's a wily old thing, you know. He's been around throughout all the generations and he knows exactly how to trip us up. He's actually more clever than you think. Jesus called him a deceiver, which means he can actually make you think you're in the right when you're wrong. That's deception. I think I'm right, but you're not. And so the devil loves to appeal to the flesh. He loves to appeal to the mind of man, reason. He loves to appeal to even good things, but he can twist them and lead you astray. That's his goal. He's a hunter out to destroy. In Psalm 91, verse 3, Satan is described as a fowler. Now, a fowler is someone who catches birds and usually sets a trap or spreads out a net, a snare, to ensnare the bird. Now, birds are created to fly. Okay? We're created to live in another realm as Christians. We're created to live in the spirit. But the enemy puts things around us to make us come down and have a look. Okay, so he is a hunter that's like a fowler, very clever, very deceptive. The bird would never fly down thinking it was a trap. Right, so a fowler doesn't set a trap for a bird, so the bird goes, already know what that is, flying on by. But it's a trap because the bird doesn't recognize it as a trap. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us to be listening to the Lord, to be living a life of faith and prayer, and can I say, a life in the church. Because people who are not part of the body are so easily deceived. I can't tell you how many times people have wandered off because they're not part of a local church. It is crazy to think you can do life on your own as a Christian. You are called to be a member of the body of Christ. It's a place of protection. It's a place of fruit. It's a place of blessing in Christ. And so, if we knew it was a trap, we wouldn't get into it. But the devil uses bait so that we see something. Oh, I quite like that. Yeah. It looks really nice. Yeah. And we go, fly on down, take a look at the bait. Anybody looking? No. Often he does things in darkness. Yeah. When nobody else is looking. If you're with your other Christian friends, you'd be like, come on, walk on by. Yes, but in the hidden place, where nobody else but God sees, you're like, ooh, I'm just standing, just looking, Lord. Just looking. Just taking a look. It doesn't hold me. But it entices you in. It pulls you in to take. And you know what? The bait has always got something attached to it that will rob, kill, or destroy eventually. Can I have the table? When I was growing up, I grew up in Zimbabwe. And if I think about my childhood, I am grateful I grew up in Zimbabwe. I'm blessed. But when we were kids, we used to live a lot of our lives outdoor because of the temperature, you know, it was warm enough. Most of our life was, it was not a screen. We lived the adventure. Yeah. Many of our kids are growing up on an adventure that somebody else has created for them. We had to make our own. And you become far more creative making your own adventure. You begin to, you think outside the box. Computers are great too. You can have an adventure there and become a design owner, you know, creative there. But we used to play outside and we had this brainy idea that we wanted to set a trap and catch an animal or a bird. And what we would do is we'd get a box And in the box, we'd put some bait. And today I'm going to use this beautiful cupcake, although I don't know how many of you that would attract. Inside, we'd put the bait. And then we would wait with a string attached to the trap, really. And honestly, I'd get bored really quickly, so I couldn't ever wait long enough, as you can well imagine. But if we were successful, some little creature would crawl into the little trap, because it would see, like that fowler, the snare, it would see, oh, I like that. I really like cupcakes. I don't know what bait Satan uses for you, but it would be different for all of us. Because, you know, I like crisps. I could walk past that all day. But Walker's lights, that's my bag. And so, you know, if there was a crisp packet in there, let me tell you, I'd be like, ooh, wandering in. Gotcha. It's a simple analogy, but it's exactly how Satan works. He baits us. And there is this cleverness to the plans of Satan that you and I can win over and can be wise to if we're in the armored vehicle with other Christians in the right place with God and moving with God together on mission. But if we wander off, we become easy prey for the enemy to come in and devour and trap us. You know, the devil won't use something horrible or repulsive to you to get you in a trap. If I said, we'd be different. Every single person in this room has different things they like. And things they know that God has said that is not for now. Or things that God has said is actually not part of your call. But we can all kind of think, well, it's there. Maybe I should have it anyway. God's good. I stood with a man pleading with him. He said, well, God's good. He wants me to have whatever I want. It's rubbish. It's a load of rubbish. It's not the Christian faith. Christian faith is blessing, but it's always picking up your cross. There's a sacrifice in the Christian life that goes along with the blessing. Yeah. Abundant life, but it takes the cross. Yeah. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And so we really are into the blessing, and I believe in it. I believe in abundance of life, but selfishness is of another kingdom. It's not of the Lord to live for yourself. But the bait appeals to your desire. He doesn't put something, Satan doesn't put something on the inside of that trap that doesn't get you. He puts what you want. And you appeals to the, you need that. You need. Have you ever heard the enemy say, you really need that? You need to take care of yourself. You need to have a pamper life. Yeah. Live in the pamper parade of Christians. They're the real Christians. And everybody will be able to tell I'm blessed because I'm pampered. Yeah. Honestly, it's like another gospel. Because the enemy knows it and he's clever. And he tries to convince us, even though we know and we're fully convinced that God is good. It's how the goodness comes into your life. Does it come from God? Or is it appealing to your flesh that will lead you into a trap where Satan will rob, kill, and destroy you of your rich inheritance? I believe we're here in the Lord this morning. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. We're going to read this together because we need to be clear that God doesn't tempt us with evil or with things he doesn't want for us. He's not. Let no one say, let's just read this, when he is tempted, that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Okay? So God never sets up a trap for you. He leads you away from traps. That's the life of the Spirit. He leads you away, or he brings you into a place of victory to overcome temptation like Jesus. Either or is both is victorious. For God himself cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Right. So we can't even say, even though Satan laid the bait, it was Satan that made me do it. Oh, don't you love the Lord? He pastors us brilliantly. He's pastoring us this morning, saying, you can't ever blame the devil when you fall into sin. Because he lays the trap and he puts the bait, but there's something on the inside of you that says, actually, I want that, and I'm going to go and take it. I'm going to go get it. Then when desire is conceived, like I really want, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Can you see the pattern? The bait, the trap. You don't even know the devil's behind pulling those strings. You just think it looks nice. It suits you. And then when you're in there, you're trapped. Satan has got hold of some area of your life or some part of your call or your ministry or where you're called to be, part of your destiny. He's out to rob, steal, and destroy. And that is why we need to be awakened to a real devil and expose him today. And I trust this is bringing some exposure to you through the Word and the Spirit this morning. The enemy uses money, yes, as bait, yeah, sex, yeah, as bait, and power, self-importance, pride, prestige, position, as bait. Now let me tell you, Abraham was rich, so God blesses people in the call, in a life of faith and obedience. Let me tell you, Abraham was fulfilled physically in his life. And he's the greatest man of influence in the whole world because through you all nations will be blessed. But God's way, not the way of the flesh and the enemy. And so God is not a killjoy. He is the real joy. He's the real thing. And so the real joy is in his will, not what you want for your own personal life. The other bait I would add to the list of money, sex, and power is self-indulgence. I think that's the biggest bait that there is in this generation. Yeah. To live to please yourself. God loves me and he wants me to be pleased. I read these stories, and I'm sure you do, on national news or in the persecuted world of Christians today, and think they would come over here and say, what is this type of Christianity, when they have to pay such a price to follow Jesus and to say, I stand as a Christian. And they lose everything, all their possessions, sometimes their freedom, and sometimes even their life, by making a stand for the Lord. They never give up their testimony. And self-indulgence, we live in a culture and in a time and in a location where actually I would say I love living. I love my home. I love it that I can put heating on. I love it that I have a fridge full of food. I'm so grateful to the Lord that I have clothes. I have friends. I have faith friends. I'm so grateful to the Lord for the church that meets here. I'm so thankful that I live in a country which currently enables us to live in freedom. Yeah. Currently. Mm-hmm. We're not persecuted before we come to the meeting. But self-indulgence can ruin you. Because some people don't go to church because they don't want to. They've got something more exciting to do. They stop meeting together. There's always the devil's bait is often on a Sunday. The bait comes out early morning when you've had a hard week and you don't want to go. It's bait. But we don't see it like that. We just go, well, I just need time out. And I don't know about you, but I believe that the Lord didn't purchase me for myself. I believe I'm purchased for God. The blood has bought me for Jesus, not for me. And in serving him and seeking first his kingdom, do you know what? All these things will be added to me. It's a life of blessing as I seek first his kingdom, not what I want. And don't give in to the bait of the enemy. See, the enemy sets up fatal attractions or distractions. Yeah. Fatal distractions. He says, just to get you out of place and out of mission and out of purpose, a new opportunity crops up. A promotion to make more money. Can I just say, never move for money. If money leads your life, Satan's behind it. It's a trap. I'm here to rescue through the word today. It's a trap. God promotes and blesses, but Satan's purpose is to take you out of the place where God's called you to be. And he's got plans. When I first was called into the ministry, I said to the Lord, I will serve you. Do you know how many opportunities came up? 7 different alternatives. I'd never had one before. And so God's opportunity was in the 7. It was interesting. It was like, now what do I do? What do I do? And I really fancied Florida. There was this woman, she was a powerful minister, and I thought, I could go and get trained there, and God, that looks really attractive, the climate, the money, they've got money, I don't have any, let's go where there is some. And so all of these things I thought, that, and very kind of TV personality-ish, and it was really appealing. And then I knew, and actually Joan had a dream, that she saw me with Pastor Colin. And the Lord said, you need to go and get trained in Bible college. I was like, brilliant. Florida? Horsham. It was the most flesh unattractive thing, but I knew my spirit. You know, when you fulfill what God has for you, there's a joy unspeakable. There is something that goes on the inside that says, hey, no matter whether it's raining or shining, I tell you what, I'm happy because I'm in the place God's called me to be. That's the joy of living in the place God's called you to be. Fatal distractions, never move for money. Another temptation the enemy uses for many Christians is the temptation to quit. Yes. To give up. To say, you've waited too long. Go find it yourself. A bit like Esau. Yes. I'm too hungry and I want it now. And you give up your birthright, your inheritance, you give up the blessing of God just to fulfill the desire of your flesh. It's a trap. And Satan really wants you to fall in it. But Jesus, more than that, wants you out of it. And he wants you to see that the enemy is real. Yeah. Yes. And to pray and to be a man or woman of prayer and the word, so that you will not get attacked or taken out by the enemy. But more than that, that you will attack him, resist him, and see him defeated in other people's lives. Temptation to say it's too difficult, it's taking too long. The temptation to be offended and critical. That's a bait. You know, it's one of the best baits Satan can use. And as soon as you are tempted when somebody's done something wrong and offended you, is you don't forgive them. You hold it against them. You can pray all you like, but the only way out of that is through forgiving and the other person who's offended you. You can't get out of the trap without forgiving. Offense will keep you trapped by the enemy. Is anybody listening this morning? Do not live your life offended with the government, President Trump. You know, these personalities that we have, we don't know them. They're just the news media. They just, and some of people can get so riled up and critical online. Do not get critical online. Bless online. Stop dictating your politics online. Dictate the gospel online. Come on. There's an offense that comes behind and an anger that is destructive behind these things. Let's purify Facebook, social media. Come on, let's purify it and use it for the glory of God. It's a bait, it's a trap to get involved with criticism, whether it's in your family or in your church family or in the government. Don't do it. Be a blessing. We've been blessed to be a blessing. There's always a temptation not to pray. And it happens to me. Don't think you're the only one who doesn't have challenges when you go and pray. I can't tell you how many times my flesh goes, oh, I don't want to pray. Anybody ever know you're that more spiritual than me? I don't want to get up and pray. I don't want to dig into the word and ask God to speak to me and get fresh revelation. It takes time. I'm too busy. And so the enemy will set up a busy life just to stop you praying and reading the word. You will become so involved in your life, so tied up with everything else that you have no time to be a spiritual man or woman of God who knows God and can do great exploits. Amen. You will always reap what you sow. Yeah. It's a principle. No sowing to the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Word, prayer, then there won't be the reaping. You won't see the fruit of the glory of God in your life and the fruit of the abundant life that Jesus has already given you. It's a cupcake thing that Satan will use, or crisps. Whatever it is for you. And he comes up with new inventions as you go along. You know, when you're younger, there are certain things that really get you, and you have to resist the temptation. But when you're older, there are other things. One of the greatest temptations is to worry about everything. Because if you're worried about everything, you're not thinking about God, you're not in faith, and therefore you can't see a victory. And so the enemy will always roar and scream out loud, you need to be afraid of your future. Why? God has my future. He's got my present. If I'm in the right place doing what he wants me to do in the armored vehicle, moving with the saints, I tell you what, God's got it in the bag. And I'm okay. He will take care of me. He's my father. And he cares for me. In the dream, just coming to land. In the dream, the two outside the place of protection were in danger. And the enemy could smell their flesh. They'd taken the bait they'd wandered off through apathy. Apathy is another temptation, which of course is prayerlessness, no word, no meeting together, no witnessing, no using the gifts that God has given you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Come on, church, that's who we are. Yes. It's who we actually are. But we become so heavy with our lives and, you know, oh, let's just make it a leisure thing and walk around with our cameras. And the enemy, he can smell our flesh and he says, ha ha, they're out of the place. And I can attack from here. I can do something. In the dream, there was the vehicle, which represents being in the right place under God and his will, in his body, in faith, and in the life of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Scripture says. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do the positive, and you won't. So in other words, the goal is to do what God says, and then your desires for those things will diminish.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing how when you sow to the Spirit, what you used to want, your flesh will pull you away, will no longer win. And we trust and depend on the Holy Spirit to help us in all of these things. No harm will come near you, is the promise. Jesus said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and no harm will come near you. In this place of surrendered life and faith in Christ, the position that you're in doesn't change eternally, but your walk can be out of the armored vehicle. And the point is, get back in. Run is what I have in my spirit. Run. I'm saying it to rescue a couple of people here this morning. Don't stay where you are. Move and get back into the place that God has called you to be in. 2 Timothy, we're going to look at who we are and what we're called to do, and then we're going to pray together. 2 Timothy, how are you doing out there? I'm hoping you're seeing the enemy this morning in a real light. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Say it. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Go on, say it over your life. Okay, so what's the Lord saying? Think soldier about yourself. Think you're like a soldier in Christ. Now, a soldier won't spend their lives eating cupcakes. If they do, they won't be able to fulfill or meet the conditions to be an effective member of the army. The cupcakes will ruin them eventually. Okay, or the crisps. So a soldier is enlisted, and it says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You have been enlisted by God as a soldier. The church is, one of the names of the church is the army of God. We are the army of God, the body of Christ. And this military mindset needs to come into all of our lives. Yes. My father was in the forces when we grew up in Africa, and he would always have to have certain dress codes, an army uniform, and he would need to be dressed for the occasion. But there were times when he had time off and he'd be in his civvies or civilian clothes. And in his civvies, everything would be relaxed, and you know, he could go to somebody's house or pop down the pub, and you know, he'd just be like an ordinary member of society. And if he was dressed like that and in the pub when he should have been on duty in his civilian clothes, you would say he's completely in the wrong place. He's not wearing the right stuff. He's not equipped with weapons and he hasn't got the uniform on. You could say in that place he has no authority as a soldier because he's dressed wrong. Can you see that? He couldn't say, well, I'm a soldier. Whatever. You're not part... You don't bring that down here. And we have to stay dressed for success. Put on the whole armor of God, the scripture says, that you may stand against the enemy. And we are already engaged in war. We are not going to have a war. We are already in a war. Which is the dream. Satan is on the prowl. He's on the lookout. And so think soldier. You're a soldier of Christ. God has enlisted you into his army. And you don't get entangled with the things of this life. Tied up. We need to sometimes just spend some time untying ourselves. And making decisions to untie ourselves so that we can serve God. In the way he wants us to. Now you need to find the way for you. If you're single or married or you've got a family, it has to work within the context of your call. But it will always include the word, prayer, fellowship with other believers and being discipled and reaching the world. And if you're not part of those things, you need to get untied so that you can be a soldier. And live your life for eternal things, not just the things of this world. A civilian life is a very relaxed life. You know, you just don't know why you're here. You know, you can do whatever you want when you want. But when you're in the army, it's like, you know, if you say to the sergeant, hey, Sarge, decided I won't be getting out of bed today. It's too much for me. I don't want to go. Don't want to be part of this. Or just go AWOL. Yes. You're still enlisted. You're still in the army. It's time to get back to who you are in Christ. And get back to the place God's called you to be in. So that you can live effectively a life with the army on mission. Coming into the darkness and bringing the light of Jesus. We are here to change the world. We're here to destroy and see the enemy pushed out and the kingdom of heaven come in. And we're united in his mission, his goal for us as soldiers together in his army. A surrendered soldier is victorious in battle. You'll never, the enemy will never gain anything over you if you live a life of yielding your life to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm in a safe place in Christ. In fact, I'm in a place of strength and protection, and I've got all authority over the enemy in this place, and I've got powerful weapons on board. And I can take the name of Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and resist the devil. And you know what? He has to flee. I am here to win. That's the mentality. I'm here to win. We're not just here to survive. We're here to take territory and to win. And so this mentality, I love this. You are engaged in war. Realize that the devil's real. Realize he's a hunter. He acts like a fowler, trying to trap you and get you caught, tied up with all kinds of things. But Jesus has provided a way out. If you've been in a trap where the enemy seems to have got hold of your life in any way, where there's a lack of freedom, a lack of holiness, righteousness, joy, and peace, where there is this confused mentality of, I'm a Christian, but. the way out of, can I say, this box, this trap, is forgive me, Lord. If we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not in a trap anymore. We're out. And we run back. Run to Jesus. To the safe place. Surrender our lives again to him and say, Lord, I don't want to be devoured. I want you to provide for my life all the good things that you've planned in your path. Your path drips with abundance. Not that path or that path. Your path drips with abundance. I want to be in the body of Christ. I want to be part of what you're doing to penetrate the darkness and see the kingdom of heaven advance. I say yes to you, Commander-in-Chief. I'm going to be someone who's going to live out my life, not as a civilian, but as a soldier of Christ. I'm not ordinary. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I've got all power over the enemy, and nothing will harm me in this place. And I don't know who. I'm sure the word's spoken to everyone this morning, one way or another, because that's the master, the Holy Spirit can do that with the word. Just bring light and truth to every heart and mind today. But we all stand under the same word. I'm no different to you. My flesh is flesh 24/7. But my spirit has divine power, the Holy Spirit within, and I can overcome my flesh when I feed the spirit and feed the life of prayer and word. Then my flesh will not gain dominion over me, which means Satan cannot get a foothold, and it means I can be free to advance the victory of Jesus Christ into this world. I don't know what the cry of your heart is this morning. I want to live as a soldier of Christ. Endure hardship in saying, actually, my flesh is not going to dictate my decisions. Promotion won't dictate it. Money won't. Even family won't dictate what I do. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And you've got a good plan for me. And I want to live out my life in the armored vehicle. The devil can't get me. I'll just finish with this. When I was a child, my brothers were after me, which they did try and get me sometimes because I was naughty. But I would find, I'd climb, I was a very good climber, and I climbed up a tree, and they weren't very good. And so I would scale the tree and get up high. And I'd look down with glee, saying, you can't come here. You can't get me. Yeah. And you know when you're in the right place with God. Satan, you can't get me. I can get you, though. Yeah. It's a completely different life. And we need this mindset of we're here to win over sin, the flesh, and the devil. We're here to see the kingdom advance, not just in the world, but through our own lives, so that Jesus is really, really leading us in triumphant procession in Christ. Yes. And Satan is not allowed to get us wandering off into dangerous paths where he will destroy. I pray with all of my heart, Father, that those who really need to bring a fresh submission of their lives to you today will do that. If there is a confession of sin, that it will be quick but genuine from hearts to say sorry for what we've got involved in, for the bait we have taken when sin, our own hearts, have been drawn away. I pray, Holy Spirit, today, that this dream that you gave won't just be another message from on a Sunday morning, but it will be a rescue mission to bring people back into a place of surrendered protection. In your will, Father, thank you that When we live under your protection, we have authority over all the power of the enemy. When our flesh is submitted to you and we say, Lord, we surrender every part of our being, our lives, our choices, Lord, the devil has to flee. He can't take our health. He can't take our relationship. He can't take our family. He can't take our kids. He can't take anything when we live surrendered. But you know, let's stand together. We all have free choice. Ah, the joy of free choice, hey? Those of you with kids will know they have free choice to go their way or yours. And we all have a will. And God won't force you back in. But I trust that today he's saying, run. His arms are open. Come back to the place of total protection because he's good. And if you need this morning to put something right with God, if you recognize you're in a trap, maybe sex, maybe money means too much to you. Maybe it's become too important. All you do is work for money and you're not serving God. Anything can come in, you know. Maybe you're somebody this morning who's been tempted to give up because it's been a long wait for what God has promised you. Just know that he is faithful and he will give you the ability to endure and he will fulfill what he has said. So just before the Lord, just if there's anyone that wants to respond to this message this morning about getting right with God and living a surrendered soldier kind of life, soldier of Christ, just respond. Maybe you've been tempted and given in to that temptation. Ah, the Lord's so merciful. He forgives those who come to him and confess. But he doesn't just want it to be repeated. He wants you in a safe place. Out of that compromise. Out of that sin. Out of that trap. Maybe money has been leading your life. Things. Ah, it's a good thing to recognize it. That it's the bait of Satan. It's one of the baits he uses. To lead you out into kind of just making money and not living your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you see all of our hearts this morning. Maybe you've been in the armored vehicle and living your life for God, but kind of head's a bit low, hanging down because you're tired. The Lord wants to say to you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't look somewhere else for solutions. This is the place. I've called you to be part of a family of believers, an army. Lift up your eyes again and look to me. I will strengthen you. Will help you and uphold you. I am your strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Strengthen, Lord, those who are weary. Steady the knees that give way. You're God with us, Lord. We've been singing it this morning. God with us, God in us, and God for us. Thank you that you have plans to prosper us and not harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Thank you, Lord, that not only do the plans concern us, but they concern the lost. Those who do not yet know and are living in darkness and captivity. May we live not just to live a life of protection, but a life of mission. Restore mission into our hearts, Lord, this morning. That we're soldiers on a mission. The King of Heaven has commissioned us to go into all the world, make disciples. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. That there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Thank you, Lord, that in this place, surrendered to you, Satan cannot get to us. We're out of reach and we're in a place where we can resist the devil. And thank you, Jesus, this morning he must flee. Every discouraging spirit, every spirit that wants to entice with lust or greed, perversion, the spirit of this age, the worldliness that can creep in and try and take our call, our destiny. In the name of Jesus, we resist. Come on, let's stand. Jesus said, when you resist, you speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, I resist the enemy. Flee from me. Leave right now. I, and through his name, tell you that no weapon formed against me will prosper, because I'm in a safe place in Jesus. I'm in a safe place with the greatest protection that there is on earth. That Jesus is my protection. God is my shield. Thank you, Lord, for the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that we can take up and pray. And pray victory and advance. And the powers of darkness must flee when we pray using the sword of the Spirit. Thank you for the spirit of prayer. Robogosa, the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's rise up and pray in the Holy Spirit. Debre. Kondobobara Bahanda. Segeriada Rabagando. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Mysteries according to the plan and the will of God. Victory through faith in his name. Run back in, run back in. Come on, churches, run to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power, your peace, your protection, your freedom in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, when he was being tempted by the enemy, he used the word of God. The written word, he said, it is written, and he picked out scriptures by the Spirit, I believe, and he brought the word. And you know what? Declaring the word is so powerful, you don't even realize how powerful it is. Speaking the word of God is so powerful. Out of your mouth and out of faith, steadfast in the faith. The thing is, we've all been trained to want something more supernatural. But the word is supernatural. You don't need an experience to declare the word. And very many times, we don't think the enemy has fled, but he has to obey the word. And when you're living your life as a surrendered soldier of Jesus Christ, we can take up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. It's God's great weapon to advance, to move the kingdom of heaven into advance mode, and to see the enemy defeated and cut off through faith in the name of Jesus and the word of God. And we're going to take the same psalm that Jesus used in his temptation, one of the scriptures from Psalm 91. It's talking about living under the place, under the shadow of the Almighty, abiding under. It's a surrendered life to God. But then in verse 13, it actually says, you will trample on the lion. Come on,
You're going to trample on the enemy. He's going to be under your feet and on the serpent. Why? Because you've got authority to put him under your feet. But it's these covenant promises, the word of God, that we can declare and see victory. So can we take Psalm 91? And I'm not going to lead this, but you're going to use the word in prayer and declaration this morning. And let's just, with a full heart of faith, declare that these amazing promises are ours, and this is what God promises to do. So let's go for it, church.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.